Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. On Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, celebrating 15 years of inspiring women to live their best lives. You know, if you haven't claimed your free subscription, head on over to subscribetoaspire.com. It will be waiting for you, my friend. So did you know that your dreaming mind will do everything in its power to attract your attention and guide you to healing solutions, even if asked to shout at you in the form of a nightmare? Today, with my special guest, Dr. Claire Johnson, we'll explore how we can turn the fear and darkness of upsetting dreams into healing and illuminating gifts. As Claire shares, when we befriend our dreams and nightmares, we can learn to transcend fear in all areas of our lives and move into a happier, more magical life. Dr. Claire Johnson was the first person in the world to do a PhD on lucid dreaming as a creative tool. Claire became fascinated by the rich other world of dreams and nightmares at the early age of 3. And began a lifelong journey deep into the mysterious inner universe of the soul. Author of many books, including The Complete Book of Lucid Dreaming, she is a past president of the International Association for the Study of Dreams and leads ocean retreats in stunning locations, as well as online workshops that lead people deep into the mysteries of dreaming. Claire has just launched a new video and audio course on Yoga Nidra for lucid dreaming, healing and blissful sleep. And I'm excited to share her brand new book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, was recently released. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's a real pleasure.
I am so excited to have you here. You know, when I first heard about your book, I was really drawn in and I reached out and said, we got to get your message to the Aspire Mag audience. So I'm excited to share you there. And I said, well, we got to get you on the show.
Lovely. Yes, that's wonderful. I'm very happy to be here.
So let's dive in. And the place I want to start is a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with the term lucid dreaming. So let's start there. What does that term mean?
Yes. So a lucid dream is a dream where you know that you're dreaming while you are actually in the dream. And this is wonderful. It's like you wake up inside the dream, you look around, and you know that everything you see and experience is a dream. You know that your body is lying asleep in bed. And when you know that you're dreaming, you're able to interact consciously with your unconscious imagery. And when you have that awareness, you can guide the dream in healing ways if you wish to. So it has very, very deep potential for transformation, for healing, and for spiritual experiences as well. Quite a wonderful state of consciousness, and one which is accessible to everybody, because we all go to sleep every night. So, you know, I always think it's a shame when people say, you know, they don't remember their dreams, so they're just missing out on this whole other world, because the first step really towards lucid dreaming is remembering your dreams, you know, entering into contact with them. And as soon as we even just have that connection with our dreaming mind, we're expanding our lives more. We're not just having 8 hours of dead time every night. So it really is a way of opening up this whole fascinating inner world to engage with our dreams.
And you had answered my other question, which was, is this something everyone can do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, many people actually already have lucid dreams without ever even knowing, you know, what they're called. When I was a child, I certainly had them without knowing that there was a terminology for them. And many people report this. You know, sometimes I'll speak at conferences, people will come to me afterwards and say, hey, you know, I have those dreams. I never knew they were called lucid dreams. I often know that I'm dreaming while I'm dreaming. So it's a very natural thing, because all lucidity is awareness. You know, you and I are lucid now, right? We're consciously aware. So it's just a question of bringing that raised level of awareness into the sleep state, into the dream state with us. So lucidity is just when our consciousness rises just a little bit higher, high enough for us to say, oh, right, yeah, strange things are happening. This must be a dream.
I love this. And so, of course, I have to go to the next question. If we're lucid dreaming and we begin that process, or we're in the midst of it, do we still wake up feeling rested, or are we between, like, what happens to our sleep cycle?
Yes, you certainly can wake up fully rested from a lucid dream. They can even be very revitalizing. You know, they happen most often during REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. They can actually happen at any stage of the sleep cycle, as has been recorded in the sleep laboratory. But most usually they happen in REM sleep, where the brain is very active. The REM sleep cycle repeats during the night and gets longer as the night goes on. So towards the morning hours, we have the longest period of REM sleep, and that's often an optimal moment for having lucid dreams, because the dreams are so incredibly vivid and often bizarre that we then are more likely to notice that we're dreaming. It doesn't have to be a tiring thing at all to be conscious in our dreams. I think sometimes people think that it will be, simply because some lucid dreaming induction techniques involve waking up, you know, really early in the morning at 5 a.m. or something, and then thinking about lucid dreaming or meditating on it and going back to sleep to try and have a lucid dream. So missing out on some of our sleep. But we don't have to use those techniques. One thing I very often recommend is that people try to have a lucid dream during an afternoon nap, so that they're actually adding to their sleep rather than taking away from it, or else using the morning hours, if you have a lie-in at the weekend, using those hours to just surf your wonderful, vivid dreams and become lucidly aware in those. But certainly as well, lucid dreams, we don't have to race around doing loads of things in our lucid dreams. We can also sit and meditate in a lucid dream. That's perfectly possible. I've done it many hundreds of times. And so we can actually guide the dream in any direction we want. If we want to go towards healing, we can do that. If we want to go towards a spiritual experience or a very calm, peaceful experience of beauty, sitting on a mountaintop and looking at a fantastic view, we can do that too. So the wonderful thing about lucid dreaming is it opens up entirely new vistas to us. We can do so many things in that state. Particularly good during this time of coronavirus, where everybody's grounded and people can't travel. And in your lucid dreams, if you want to, you can go on an adventure. You can go traveling to another country, visit a different culture, go and lie on a beach if you're living in a landlocked country, you know, that sort of thing. So it really does expand our possibilities, because the experiences we have in lucid dreams feel so real. They feel as real as you and me here now, Linda. You know, they are super real. And so it's wonderful if you can expand your life by having these incredibly beautiful conscious experiences during sleep.
Well, I just love this whole description, and it's, you know, getting me thinking back. And there have been so many times, and I, like you said, I didn't associate it with the term, that I felt like I was there in my dream, but as a witness. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from our first break. And I am with Dr. Claire Johnson of deeplucidedreaming.com. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Inspiration for a Woman's Soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. With me today is Dr. Claire Johnson, author of the new book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. So Claire, right before the break, as you were describing it to us, it just brought back a dream that I had about a month ago that I even said to my honey when I woke up. I said, I just had the strangest dream. It was like I was inside my dream, but I was the witness of my dream, above my dream, watching me dream, watching the experience. Is that lucid dreaming?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it was a raised level of conscious awareness, because you were aware that you were watching a dream. Did you think, oh, this is a dream that I'm watching? Or?
Well, when I was in it, I knew I was above it. That's how I would answer that question, because I knew that I was looking down at myself experiencing the whatever it was in the dream. So it's like I had the awareness of both.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you had a high level of awareness, and that could have been a kind of a lucid dream. I mean, the lucid dream definition as such is when you know, everything I see is a dream. Everything I'm experiencing is part of a dream. You know, that kind of level of self-reflective awareness. And it sounds like you were very, you know, either very close to that, or maybe it was a lucid dream. Hard for me to say, because I wasn't there with you in your dream. But I think often people report this sensation of being aware that this is all happening. It's a bit like a theater play, and it's all taking place, and they can change the direction of events if they like. And I often refer to those as pre-lucid dreams, when you know, I don't have to be in this situation, I can change it. And yet, without fully realizing it, I can change it because this is a dream and because I have woken up in my dream. Do you see what I mean? So there are different levels of awareness. Yeah.
I love this. No, say someone, you know, grabs a copy of your book or has listened to this conversation and they're saying, I want to be able to do this. What would you say to someone? What is a step where they can become more aware?
Yeah. So the very first thing to do is begin to recall your dreams. It's really, really important to have some dream recall if you want to become a lucid dreamer, because this opens up the lines of communication with our dreaming mind. So the way to remember your dreams is try not to wake up to a stressful alarm clock, because that just makes everything vanish. You know, I'm sure you will have experienced this, that you just have the tail end of a dream and then it all vanishes when the alarm clock goes off. You start thinking about your day. So it's good not to have an alarm clock if possible. And then just lie in the same position when you wake up. Don't open your eyes straight away. Don't move your body straight away. And just think back. What was I just doing? Who was I with? What was I just thinking or feeling? And you'll bring something back. It could be an emotion. Oh, I was feeling sad. And then you remember, oh, yeah, because I had a situation with my mother in the dream. Oh, what happened? Oh, yeah, we were doing this. Or you may just remember a color at first. Oh, there was a beautiful warm orange light, like sunbathing with my eyes closed, you know? And you'll bring that back. And as you just start to get into the habit of bringing these dream images and sensations back, just jot them down in your dream journal, and more will come, because the dreaming mind is a bit like a flower, you know, that needs water and sunlight. We give it that water and sunlight in the form of our attention, and then it blossoms and it will start sending us dreams that we easily remember. And soon we'll find we're remembering two or three dreams a night. And that has already given you a huge step towards becoming lucid in your dreams. Once you see the kind of dreams you have, you can think about, well, what are my dream themes? Do I always dream about, you know, my childhood home? In which case, I say to myself, the next time that I find myself in my childhood home, I will recognize that I am dreaming. Because, of course, I haven't seen or been in my childhood home for so long. So it must be a dream. You know, that kind of thing. You can connect these things together to trigger lucidity. And another thing to do, I mean, I really advise afternoon naps, because they're a great time in terms of brain chemistry, because we're feeling naturally a bit tired, but our brain's pretty alert and we go fairly rapidly into REM sleep, which is full of dreams. And also we can set the intention to become lucid in the dream, you know, as we're falling asleep into that afternoon nap. And so it's not such a long gap of time between saying, I want to get lucid in my dream, and actually having those dreams. Whereas if we set the intention at the beginning of a night of sleep, we've got to go through all the deep levels of sleep first, you know, and it's harder for us to recall that intention. So try for an afternoon nap. And one wonderful thing to do that I do every single day and night without fail is observing the pre-sleep imagery and sensations which come up as we're falling asleep. So you close your eyes, relax deeply, relax your whole body, relax your breathing, and then just allow these images to arise. They're often very strange images, just flashes of light or color, or maybe a face. And as you continue to watch these images, they start to move and develop, and you'll realize that these are the building blocks of dreams. You actually see dreams beginning to form behind your eyelids, and it's absolutely fascinating. And this is called hypnagogic imagery. So you can practice for lucid dreaming by just observing that imagery, and it's wonderful fun to do it.
Now, I have had that, like the colors and the swirls, yeah, and watching it come at me almost like, you know, like when out of space and you see it, it comes at you fast when the stars and the...
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the moving lights.
Yeah, I used to say, boy, my mind's active, but I used to love, it relaxed me to lie there and just watch the colors. It felt like I was having a personal show from the divine.
Exactly, Linda. It's absolutely wonderful to do this. And it's a perfect lucidity practice, because there is a technique called wake-induced lucid dreaming, or WILD, where we actually enter a lucid dream from that state. So we stay aware throughout the entire process of falling asleep. It sounds completely paradoxical, but you can do it. Many people find this is their preferred way of having lucid dreams, to lie down, relax, and let your body just fall asleep while your brain remains aware, watching and experiencing this hypnagogic imagery. So it's a very wonderful way of entering a lucid dream directly from the waking state.
Oh, I'm going to have to try that the next time it happens. And you were talking about alarm clocks. I haven't used the alarm clock or had anything electrical in my bedroom for over 25 years. I like to wake up naturally. But my wake up time, my soul time is, I'm usually up between 2:30 and 3 every day. I still get a good night's sleep. I go to bed at 9. Mm-hmm. But I go through these spiritual periods of, and right now I'm in one. It's been six months. And my honey's like, oh no, not again.
Oh.
But it's that time that, as you were describing earlier, that time.
Yeah.
That as I feel myself coming awake, that's my favorite time to lie there and just, I don't know, come into the world.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I do that often as well. I often daydream during the night if I wake up and I'm remembering the dreams I've just had. And then I just sort of daydream or kind of playfully re-enter my dreams while awake. And I find it super creative because, you know, I mean, I'm like you in that sense. We're both creative ladies.
Yeah.
And I find that a superbly creative time of the night because everybody's quiet, not getting disturbed by people and distracted and having the phone ringing. You're in your own space and you can really connect with the deeper part of yourself, and you can just really allow ideas to come up or have that daydreaming, relaxed, wonderfully creative state of consciousness. So that sounds wonderful that you're doing that. I know it's not great for the bed partner, but, you know.
Right. He's used to it. But something you just said, too, is when I first started waking up at that time about 5 years ago, and it was not like I never had the feeling of, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm waking up at 2:30. It was I woke up so naturally, full of creativity, intuition, like my intuition was so wide open. In those 4 years, my business grew by 300%. And when people ask me, I always say, I take the time to listen when I wake up.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's that energy we're in when we first wake up. And what you said also is we have no distractions. So I'm now, that phase has come back again, that my the divine, the my intuition, I'm really aware in those hours. Mm-hmm. So now I have some fun things that I can play with. Just a few tips you've already shared.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with yoga nidra. Have you tried that?
No, which is I had a guest.
You know, it sounds to me like you're doing it already by the sounds of things, because this is what I do in the night as well. I mean, just lying there totally, totally relaxed and then drifting, going wherever you want to go, going towards the divine, the spiritual, going towards intuition or creativity, or allowing dream images to surge up, or, you know, doing whatever feels right. And you're just kind of balancing in that state between wake and sleep, which is It's a famous state of sleep for being creative. I mean, so many people have actually invented things during that in-between state. And it's wonderful. You can do anything there.
Mm. Well, I'm going to say, you know, thinking back, and I've told this story before, Aspire Magazine, the original logo, because we're now, you know, this is a variant of the original, the one I have now.
Yes.
But the original logo came to me in a dream and kept coming to me for 3 months. And I kept saying, why am I dreaming about the front cover of a magazine? I had no desire to start a magazine. And everything kept coming to me. And I'm like, just, you know, leave me alone, not knowing that it was guidance. Yeah. Every book title for my publishing company came through at that period of time. I don't do anything without receiving it first, but it just drops in.
Yeah. And this is what dreams do. They, you know, we play with dreams. We play with the future, possible futures in our dreams, and our dreams will also show us the way in life. You know, I've had this so many times that when I've not known exactly which direction to go in, a dream just simply shows me. And as you say, it can even come when you're not even looking for a particular path. The dream will just be like, well, this is where you're going. Look, here we go, here we go. Keeps on bringing it back and bringing it back until you kind of like, oh, okay, now I understand what I'm supposed to be doing. So they're like lanterns guiding our path through life.
Yeah, and what I noticed too is over these 15 years since I received the mag and the logo is I now no longer doubt when something drops in, you know, and as I'm lying there during those hours, I have no doubt. It's like, oh, okay, thank you. I say, thank you, thank you.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about, because a lot of, you know, when I opened the show, we talked about that our dreams are really can open us to healing. So we come back. Let's talk about what someone can do when they become lucid in a dream and they wish to heal themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back. I am with Dr. Claire Johnson of deeplucidreaming.com. Be sure to swing by there. Check out her new book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, as well as all the other amazing stuff she has going on over there. We'll be right back, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
It's time to begin the adventure of a lifetime by nurturing the most important relationship you will ever have, the relationship with yourself. Kelly Grimes, self-nurturing expert, speaker, and author of the bestseller, The Art of Self-Nurturing, a field guide to living with more peace, joy, and meaning, shares that a self-nurturing practice is not about being perfect or completing another thing on your to-do list, but rather nurturing a relationship with yourself. In The Art of Self-Nurturing, you'll discover the inspiration, examples, reflective questions, and self-nurturing practices that will empower you to become the artist of your own life and see self-nurturing as an art form. Rather than living from obligation and overwhelm, you will learn to cultivate a life filled with self-compassion and self-love. Order your copy today at artofselfnurturingbook.com and receive the Self-Nurturing Starter Kit as a supportive gift.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I am so glad that you're circling up with me today, along with my special guest, Dr. Claire Johnson. So, Claire, what can someone do when they become lucid in a dream and wish to heal themselves?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So when you become lucid in a dream, and there's, you may want to heal yourself psychologically, emotionally, or physically. People have tried all different kinds of healing in lucid dreams, and there are many possibilities. I think one of the things that works really well is working with light in a lucid dream. So for example, if I want to heal something in a lucid dream, I recall my intention to heal, and then I'll look at my hands, and often they will just automatically be glowing with light simply because I have that intention to heal. And then I will bring my hands to any part of my body or to my head if it's something that I want to heal emotionally, or my heart, and just allow that light to pour in. And that's super effective. Another thing to do is to work with sound. This is also magical in lucid dreams, because when we sing or chant a mantra in a lucid dream, the sound vibrations roll out into the dream, and the whole dream reverberates with this sound. It's quite amazing. So even if you can't sing very well in waking life, you can sing in an amazing voice of power in your lucid dreams, sing a healing mantra or sing anything that feels right. And that also sends out incredible healing energy. You could also try creating a healing environment. So for example, creating a beautiful pool and saying, when I dive into that healing pool, I will heal myself on all levels. So you can bring your intention that way into the dream. Some people also like to seek out a doctor or a guru type figure to help them with healing, or they contact their ancestors within the lucid dream to ask them for healing. So it depends, you know, it really depends on the direction you want to go in. I often think it's a good idea to rehearse a possible lucid dream healing in your head before you have the lucid dream, to send a very strong intention to your dreaming mind that this healing is what you want. But then it's very good in the lucid dream itself not to be too attached to that idea of how the healing might happen, but simply to open up to spontaneity within the lucid dream, because sometimes we'll find that we want to heal a certain way in a lucid dream, but the lucid dream will have other ideas. It will present us with something else, you know. Someone will come along, and I mean, one woman, for example, she had a mass in her womb, and she was told by the doctor it could be a tumor, and so she decided to heal herself in a lucid dream. And she had a dream where there were these strange UFO type things in the sky. And she was standing with her son, and her son was frightened because they started beaming light out. But she said to her son in the lucid dream, "No, it's okay. Don't be scared. They have come to heal me." She suddenly had that recognition, and they beamed healing light into her. And she went back to the doctors a few days later to get a second scan, and this mass had completely disappeared. And so, yeah, she said that this was because she had healed herself in her lucid dream. And the fascinating thing about lucid dreams is that they do have an effect on the body. There have been scientific experiments done that look at this. So one that was done was to do with, fist clenching. So subjects were asked to clench their fists while awake, and then the researchers saw which part of the brain lit up when that happened, and they were asked to then become lucid in a dream, signal with their eye movements to show they were lucid, and then do that same fist clenching, and the same areas of the brain lit up even though the physical fist was not being clenched because the person was asleep. But just the idea or the thought of doing that in the lucid dream activates the same part of the brain. So this is just one way in which you can see that what we do in lucid dreams, the physical actions we take, actually kind of happen in the brain as well, and they can be seen happening in the brain. And when we wake up from a deep lucid dream healing, I've had this many times, we know it's worked because we feel it thrumming through our bodies. I can feel the healing after a lucid dream healing in the cells of my body. I wake up buzzing. It's kind of like a yoga energy, like the feeling you get when you have prana really circulating well, you've done a nice yoga routine and you've got this buzzing energy through you. And you wake up with that feeling after a lucid dream healing, and you know in your bones, you know in the cells of your body that something has changed, that you have healed yourself.
Oh my God, so beautiful. I believe in the power of all this. And Claire, there was something in the article that you wrote for Aspire. It was a little small story, just one paragraph that I want to read, because when I read it, I was like, oh my goodness. Mm. And I think for our listeners, hearing, like, it's like a case study. Would you mind if I take a moment?
No, of course, please.
And then I'm going to have you to like dive in, because this really jumped out at me. I'm like, okay, now I can see how the deciphering fits into the message. And here it was. A woman in one of my workshops had a nightmare in which she was desperately trying to save a cat who was about to fall to its death from a high window ledge. Although terrified, she was leaning further and further out over the deadly drop, putting her own life at risk to save him. She had no idea what this nightmare could mean or why she had dreamt it. When we worked on the nightmare, she realized that the cat represented her disabled husband, who was desperately worried about, she was desperately worried about. She shed some tears as she understood the immense pressure she was under, trying to save him at all costs, yet never taking time for her own self-care. Now, I gotta say, when I read that, I was like, oh my God, this is what it's about. It's about understanding that, because that's a healing message. That's how I took it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, nightmares flag up where healing is needed. They flag up where change is needed. I often say that nightmares are dreams that shout because they just desperately want our attention. They want to flag up where we are suffering, because often we will soldier on, you know, we'll have a terribly difficult situation, yet we won't realize how much that situation is destroying us. You know, because we feel like, oh, we have to carry on. And sometimes it's particularly women who are in the role of the carer and just feel that they have to be strong for everybody else. And then that leaves almost nothing for them. And when we get down to, you know, our last reserves of strength, we risk having some sort of an emotional breakdown. And so the nightmare in that sense for this woman came to say to her, hey, listen, you need help. You can't do this alone. You need to get help. And that was, you know, a message to show her that, yeah, it was time to reach out. It was time to get more help. And it showed her very clearly how much she was risking. She was risking her own life in that dream to save the cat. And that is how it feels for our unconscious mind when we don't replenish our resources. When we don't look after ourselves, the unconscious feels like we are going to die. You know, it's like an instinctive reaction to say, hey, please, you have to help us survive here. You're putting everything at risk. And so for that woman, yeah, it was a wake-up call. And nightmares often are wake-up calls. They force us to be honest with ourselves about how well we're coping or how we are not coping, and what we need to do to release fear or pain or move forward in one way or another. So in this way, nightmares are gifts. You know, I often say nightmares are gifts in nasty wrapping paper, because it's pretty nasty, you know, that kind of nightmare. There's a horrible images in there and a lot of fear, and you often wake up at the moment of the greatest fear and it's just awful. And yet when we take a moment to be present to our nightmare and ask ourselves, what is the nightmare saying to me? What is the message? We take our courage in both hands, we unwrap that nasty looking gift, and that's when we find what we're looking for. We find the guidance. And for that woman, yeah, it was saying, please get help, because you can't go on like this anymore.
Yeah, it was powerful. I could feel the message, and then through your storytelling I could see the connection, like, oh my God, why didn't I see that, like, if that was my dream. There was something else too, that a statement in your article, it said dreams are honest mirrors that reflect our current emotional state and concerns. And I'm like, yeah, that's powerful.
They really are. They are. They are honest mirrors. And sometimes we don't want to look in the mirror, do we?
It's easier to cover the mirror.
Yeah, it's easier to cover the mirror and carry on doing what we're doing and believing that we're coping and that everything's all right. And, you know, sometimes women will also come to me with a dream that they're having. And the dream, when they start to unpack it, they realize it's really saying that they shouldn't be in that relationship anymore. There was one woman who kept dreaming about, I mean, such a strange dream. You listen to it, you won't know that it's about a relationship necessarily. And that's the thing about the symbology of dreams. So she dreamed that there was these spiders that kept, other little spiders kept bursting out of them in a really unpleasant way. I mean, how strange is that? Mm. She didn't understand, why am I having this recurring nightmare? Really short, but it really upsets me. This horrible spider, and it's reproducing with all these little things bursting out of it. And then as she worked on that nightmare, she realized that the spider represented her boyfriend, who kept having really ugly outbursts, right? Bursting out, outbursts. Oh. Yeah, and was really quite abusive with her. And she knew, okay, yeah, I don't want this to continue, and I don't want to be in this kind of relationship anymore. I don't want to be treated this way and have this guy with these ugly outbursts making me feel upset and scared and worried all the time. So that kind of thing, you know, it's just incredible when you unpack a dream, right? Yeah. to have these realizations of what it's actually about. So the unconscious does speak to us in images. It does have this symbolic language. And that's why it's good to kind of work with the image. Say, how do I feel? I often say, try and make a bridge between that dream and what's happening currently in your life. And then when people connect with the emotion, they can often say, actually, yeah, I did feel that way just last week. I felt that way when this guy had that horrible outburst. And then you make that connection. So, yeah.
This is so powerful. And we're going to take our last break, Claire. When we come back, I want to talk about your new book, because in your new book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares, you focus on all manner of bad dreams, right? So I want to ask you in our last segment, like, what's the main advice you would give to someone that's a nightmare sufferer? We will be back in a moment. I am with Dr. Claire Johnson of deeplucidreaming.com. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you being called to step into your truth and embrace your divinity? Are you ready to align your heart and soul, live an authentic life, and become a divine magnet for love and abundance? It's time to listen to your inner wisdom and clear the blocks holding you back from your best life. Leading intuitive prosperity coach, Akashic Records practitioner, and evidential medium Jamie Hearn of liveyourdivinity.com empowers and supports spiritual women like you to align your inner and outer worlds, embrace your soul's truth, and live your divinity. Through her intuitive gifts, grounded wisdom, and empowered coaching, Jamie guides women back into sacred alignment with their truth. Visit liveyourdivinity.com to learn more about Jamie's empowering programs and to schedule an Akashic Record reading.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm here today with Dr. Claire Johnson, author of her most recent book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. So, Claire, you focus a lot in that book on, you know, manner of bad dreams, right?
Yeah.
The dreams that we never want to talk about. So let's talk about that. Like, what's the main advice? Tell us a little bit about the book.
Sure. Yeah. So, I think one important thing that I'd like to say is, if anyone out there listening suffers from severe nightmares, you know, more than once a week, perhaps three times a week, sometimes even every night, and if you're scared to go to sleep because of these nightmares, then please definitely see a doctor and see a therapist who is used to working with dreams and nightmares. Because I can tell you this, Linda, I mean, I've had so many messages over the years from people who have terribly distressing nightmares that are recurring nightmares, often linked to past trauma, and they can get so bad that people will say, I don't actually want to live anymore. I mean, it really gets that bad because they're scared to sleep, and it takes them into a very vicious cycle where, because they're scared to sleep, they end up sleep deprived. And of course, then the next day, their problems become even more magnified because they're so exhausted and don't have the resources to face them. So it can very quickly become a terribly negative cycle. So if anyone listening is in that state, definitely get help. There is help out there. So that's important to say first off. The book focuses on all sorts of different nightmare experiences, recurring nightmares, but also events like sleep paralysis, which is when we feel like we're trapped in our body. So sleep paralysis is when we're falling asleep and we go into a natural state of muscular paralysis to stop us acting out our dreams. Otherwise, we'd be hitting our bed partner in the face all the time or jumping out of bed, you know. So it's a natural protective biological function. And yet, sometimes if we remain aware, so we're lucidly aware, but we feel trapped in our bodies, it can be terrifying because people can't move and they've got dreamlike imagery happening. And because they're scared and because the dream is a thought responsive state, their fear will create even more scary images or events. And then they're feeling trapped and attacked. And so that's kind of the worst part of sleep paralysis. A lot of people suffer from this as well, but it can be changed. It can be changed when we learn to calm down in that state and relax and trust that we're going to be fine and that it's just muscular paralysis. Then we can guide ourselves into a lucid dream, a beautiful dream from there. And my book gives loads of practical techniques for every kind of nightmare or sleep paralysis, also scary out-of-body experiences where people feel they're shooting out of their bodies. They sometimes think they're going to die because they don't know about that state. And yet, if you think about it, we all leave our bodies every night to enter a dream body. So none of these states have to be scary. It's all a natural part of sleep, but there's so much mystery about sleep that people don't know. And it's natural to feel fearful if you find yourself floating in black space all on your own, or you find yourself trapped in your body or shooting out of your body. So I just want to kind of bring everything into this book, along with techniques that will help people in very practical ways to calm down, relax, make the most of these experiences, and also learn about what their nightmares actually mean, how they can transform them, not only through becoming lucid in the nightmare, but also by doing dream work while they're awake. So when we're awake, we can re-enter the nightmare, make sure we feel safe and we're happy to do it first. And then we can, in our mind's eye, with our eyes closed, go back into that nightmare, rewind it to the place just before it gets scary, and then replay it, but changing whatever we need to change, or asking questions, asking a nightmare figure, do you have a message for me? That can often result in really insightful answers. We can summon help in that state, or we can escape, or we can hug the monster to integrate shadow energy, develop magical powers, or send love and light. So many ways of reacting to a nightmare. And what happens when we do this work when we're awake, that not only dissolves a lot of the fear that the nightmare has brought us, it can result in healing resolution. And once we've had that healing resolution, once we've uncovered what the nightmare is trying to say to us, and we've experienced some sort of resolution, that nightmare doesn't need to come back again. So if you're someone who has recurring nightmares, well, you can change that. You can change your dream life, you know. And this is a very important thing for people to know, to help them to feel empowered. Because, of course, if you have loads of nightmares, it can be easy to feel like you're being attacked. You have no power. What can I do when I go to sleep? I'm just going to have these awful dreams. So people quickly feel hopeless. So my book is really all about transformation. How we can change these things, how we can, uncover the gifts of nightmares. And I have like a whole quiz in The Art of Transforming Nightmares, so that because everybody's different, so the quiz, the nightmare quiz, helps people to understand, you know, what kind of sleeper are you? What kind of dreamer are you? There are lots of questions, you know, are you a traumatized dreamer? Did you have past trauma? Are you someone who's anxious and depressed in your waking life? Do you take medication that might trigger nightmares? Do you have insomnia? All these kinds of things. And then once the person has taken the quiz, I will then fast track them to the most effective nightmare practices for them personally. And this is simply in response to all these different messages I've had from people over the years, where I read the message and I think, I know exactly how to help this person. And yet, if you're responding to people individually, and there are so many people, it's best just to put it all into a book. So that's what I did in the end.
Well, we're so glad that you did, because I think it's like you're shining a light on something that a lot of us don't want to face or talk to, like you said, talk about. So it's educating us, it's empowering us. And from that place of empowerment, that's when we can create change.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we really can change our lives. And when we make change on the unconscious level, that unconscious deep level of change is almost instantly reflected in our waking life. I mean, there are so many stories, and I have this from people in my workshops as well. They'll just do a very little bit of waking dream work with me, and they'll have some sort of really powerful insight, and that instantly causes a change in their lives. There was one woman I worked with who had been in abusive relationships all her life. First, her father was violent, then her boyfriend was violent. And unsurprisingly, she had recurring nightmares of being chased by a violent man. And she would try and hide, and there were so many different places she tried to hide, but no matter wherever she hid, he was going to get her, and she would wake up just as he discovered her in her hiding place. Very terrifying. So we did, we had a private session, actually, that one was, and we did a technique of mine called lucid writing, which is when you go back into the nightmare, you replay it in your mind's eye, and then you write without stopping, like automatic writing, and see what happens, see what changes. And what changed for her in that nightmare revisitation was that she was running away from this man, feeling scared, but then she turned around for the very first time and faced this man in her nightmares, put her hands out and said, "Stop, you have no right to do this to me." And he just shrank down and disappeared. And she told me about this and said it. She said, "It's the first time I've ever thought to look round, and it's the first time I've ever said with such power, no, you don't have the right to do this." And I spoke to her after this, you know, a week or so later, and she felt so much more empowered. The nightmares had stopped. And sometimes it's just a super important part of the process for someone who has been the victim of violent abuse or any kind of abuse to actually stand there and say, "No, you know, I don't deserve this. This is not happening anymore." It's the first kind of empowering step that they can take. And you can do this in your mind's eye, in a dream reentry. And it is actually super powerful. It doesn't have to be a long process. It's actually the feeling of being there and saying, "I am worth standing up for." And that will immediately have an effect on waking life, because then you realize, okay, I really am worth standing up for. I can do this. I don't have to accept this abuse. And that's very, very empowering.
Yeah, what a powerful story for us to close on, because it shows you the power of working with your lucid state, lucid dreaming, I should say.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to invite everyone. Please visit deeplucidreaming.com to learn about everything that Dr. Claire offers. There is so many resources there. And of course, grab a copy of her newest book, The Art of Transforming Nightmares. She's written many books, so you'll find them there too. And Claire, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining me today, for bringing this conversation on nightmares to light. It's such an important one.
Well, thank you, Linda, for your interest in the topic. It's wonderful to talk to you today.
You too. And until next time, everyone, choose love, choose joy, choose gratitude, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.